This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. It seems like every few weeks there's another high-profile hack of major corporations or government. It's a worldwide problem that affects millions of people. But it may surprise you to learn that countries around the world approach cybersecurity in very different ways. Benjamin Bartlett is a fellow at Harvard University, where he does research on cybersecurity policy in East Asia. He sat down with HPR's Ryan Finnerty to discuss what the U.S. can learn from our Asian neighbors.
So in the U.S., the focus, what I say implemented here, I guess the focus from the government point is essentially to leave it mostly to the private consumer or the private company. There are some exceptions to that. The government does pay a lot more attention, not surprisingly, to critical infrastructure, right? Because they care if, you know, the electrical systems are going down or, you know, the dams get broken into or things like that, right? So sort of things that are really vital to national security, you do see the U.S. government playing somewhat of a larger role. Although even there, what it's tended to do is sort of bring businesses in and say, hey, we need to work out this framework, and then mostly left it to the businesses to do so rather than sort of doing sort of a top-down, hey, you guys must do what we want to do, which businesses in the U.S. would really resist. And firms in the U.S., of course, have quite a bit of power to do so. So the government, for the most part, in terms of cybersecurity, thinks of cybersecurity in terms of sort of its own defense, right? Protecting its own networks, protecting the military networks, and then also sort of, you know, the NSA, the CIA, sort of how do they respond to or also launch their own sort of cyber operations. So that's sort of the U.S. government approach to it.
And how does that compare to, say, Japan or South Korea?
So Japan is sort of this other extreme. Much less focus on sort of the traditional sort of military intelligence view of cybersecurity, although they do, of course, protect their own government networks. That's true across all governments. Much more focused on helping firms and individuals improve their cybersecurity. So a lot more focus in Japan on doing things like giving tax breaks to small and medium enterprises for upgrading their servers, for installing firewall systems, etc. A lot of focus on sort of bringing firms in and sort of educating them about cybersecurity and what they have to do. A lot more focus on just getting the average consumer to understand cybersecurity. So they run very large ad campaigns. You can go to, you know, major train stations in Tokyo, for example, and see giant posters giving advice about cybersecurity. They run programs like the Cyber Clean Center, which actually goes out and actively finds malware on people's computers and then gives them the tools to remove that malware. So much more focused on sort of the individual and the firm. South Korea sort of does both. Because it's so worried about North Korea, and because it has a very strong intelligence agency, it does do quite a bit of the more national security side things, but it also, like Japan, focuses a lot on trying to improve firm and individual cybersecurity as well.
And you mentioned public outreach campaign. So I'm thinking of here in the United States, we might have like a don't smoke or a don't do drugs campaign. In Japan, they have a don't open a suspicious email.
That's exactly right. Yes. Often very clever. One of the campaigns I mentioned sort of has all these photos up in the form of shoujo manga, which for those of you who are not familiar with it, is comics aimed at young women or girls. And these have these really clever lines where they sort of steal really sort of standard lines from these manga and change them to be about cybersecurity. So often, you know, a character might say, I don't really think, you know, that frown suits you, or I don't really think, you know, that hairstyle suits you. And in this case, they've got one where he's like, such a weak password does not suit you, right? So it's, you know, playing on those tropes, but, you know, also then teaching people about cybersecurity practices.
You mentioned that here in the United States, the military, the Defense Department, and the intelligence community have a pretty strong role in cybersecurity, and that's less so in Japan, as you mentioned. What is the relationship like between the citizens and the government agencies that are responsible for cybersecurity? I know here in the U.S. there have been some issues with privacy and hacking and things like that.
Right. So in Japan, you basically don't get that. Just because the government hasn't been sort of, for lack of a better term, looking at its own consumers' data or looking at its own people's data. In the U.S., there's this real trade-off between national security and privacy. And I don't want to, make it sound like the government's not genuinely worried about national security. It's, right? Like, these are not people who are like, I'm just going to look at people's emails for the fun of it, right? They do care about these things. But in Japan, that sort of pressure isn't there. Instead, sort of the Ministry of the Interior and Communications, which is in charge of telecommunications, actually goes very much out of its way to protect people's private data from even the government, which has sometimes gotten them, they and the sort of National Police Agency have often sort of gone head to head about exactly how much of people's data internet service providers should store, and the ISPs don't actually even store people's metadata, which is the same as saying, like, if I call someone, right, it's having that phone number stored. Well, the same thing happens when you visit a website, right? Somewhere it says, hey, they visited this server. It doesn't say what you did on it, but it just says, hey, they visited this server. And at the moment in Japan, there's no requirement for internet service providers to store that information.
And how about in South Korea? Because they do have a very obvious security threat.
Yeah. So South Korea is, the tensions there are, if anything, even more than in the U.S. The National Intelligence Service in South Korea monitors the internet much more than and much more aggressively than the U.S. National Security Apparatus does. There's been a number of problems with this. I mean, it's been interesting to watch the South Korean reaction to this. In, I believe it was 2014, there had been a very, very popular chat program in South Korea, and they realized the government was monitoring this, so they switched to using other chat programs from, for example, Germany with end-to-end encryption so that they wouldn't have the government be spying on them. There have been a lot of fights in the Korean parliament, basically not over sort of what they should do about cybersecurity, but over who should be in charge of it, with the left tending to favor anyone other than the National Intelligence Service and, you know, the right tending to favor the National Intelligence Service. So that privacy and is a huge issue in South Korea. In fact, the government even goes so far as to sort of monitor web pages, somewhat for malware, but also for, you know, North Korean propaganda and things, when there has been, for example, malware, they have removed those web pages, which the Japanese government, even the U.S. government, doesn't go that far, right? So it's even more sort of an extreme case in South Korea than in the U.S.
And so what do we see in terms of outcomes from these three different approaches to managing cybersecurity?
So that's an interesting question. In terms of Japan and South Korea, part of the reason they're sort of pursuing this is because users there have tended to be less good about adopting good cybersecurity practices than in the U.S. Partly, I think this is just because the U.S. has been, you know, consumers have been doing this longer. The Japan, in particular, was very late to sort of the internet game versus these other two countries, although it's certainly caught up now. But so in the U.S., individuals actually are pretty good about protecting themselves, although there's this funny issue where you often see that, for example, Japanese consumers are more aware of these problems. So, like, they'll be more aware, for example, what ransomware is, but less likely to have actually taken the steps they need to protect themselves about it. In the U.S., it's the opposite. We don't understand any of it, but we all have antivirus software, right? So it's this really interesting contrast where even awareness doesn't necessarily then mean you do the right thing to protect yourself against it. And in the U.S., it's, you know, we just sort of, we all know we're supposed to have antivirus software, even if we don't understand what it is we're protecting ourselves against. So there is sort of this disconnect somewhat between sort of education and getting people to do the right thing. That having been said, you can see, if you look at the data, a lot of progress in Japan from all this education program. So they have gotten much better over the years and have, in many cases, at least gotten close to the U.S. consumer, if not quite caught up with it. Actually, if you look at the data, who does the best are Europeans, interestingly enough. They're the ones who really seem to install, you know, all the right stuff and do the right thing. Perhaps not surprisingly, they're the most sort of worried about privacy versus the Americans or the Japanese or even the South Koreans. But.
And so is there anything that the United States, either U.S. citizens or the U.S. government, can learn from the approaches that have been taken in Japan and South Korea?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that in the U.S., because of the way the government works, I think doing things at the federal level is very difficult. But a lot of these efforts, like advertisement campaigns, aren't that expensive, right? You could imagine people at the state level even doing this sort of thing. And so I think there is a payoff, and a lot of it's not a major expense, right, just to get people to do things. You know, put some ads on TV, you know, put some billboards up, you know, and just get people to sort of know the basics. And this really makes a difference, because so much of cybersecurity really is, you know, the weakest link is the human being. So much of it is just someone, you know, using a weak password or, you know, giving away their information over the phone. And so these really basic practices are really important. And I think the government could definitely do more to sort of encourage people and at not that high of a cost.
All right, Dr. Benjamin Bartlett, thanks so much for your time today.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
That was Benjamin Bartlett, a cybersecurity researcher at Harvard University's U.S.-Japan program.